Hello, this is Woman's Football Report, Olympic Edition. I'm your host, Sydney, coming at you from Maryland, United States. Today is our first episode, so I hope you enjoy. So I'm going to start with the opening matchup for this morning, which was Team GB versus Chile. This is Chile's first Olympics, and they're coming off their first ever World Cup appearance from 2019. Team GB qualified through England's semifinal run. This is the first time we're seeing them since 2012, when they were the host nation. So before I even get into the game, there was a lot of questions around Great Britain's team because they haven't been together since 2012. There's a lot of new faces. How were the players going to merge together? And they have a new temporary coach, so everything like that. This was a very good test for Great Britain. So getting into the actual games, Great Britain won 2-0. Ellen White had both their goals today, coming off of Lucy Braun crosses. The first one was more of a deflection, but the second goal was a very great goal by Ellen White. Kim Little had a really good performance. She was the rock of Team GB's midfield today. There was a lot of rotation for Team GB's squad today, too. There were 9 English players in the starting lineup and 2 Scottish players, Kim Little and Caroline Weir. Sophie Ingold, the only Welsh player, also did get some minutes at the end of the match. The other matchup today in Group E was Japan versus Canada. Personally, I was really excited for this match because these are 2 evenly strength teams, in my opinion. The scoreline of this match also showed that they were evenly strength today with a 1-1 tie. So Canada opened the scoring pretty early on in the 5th minute. Christine Sinclair scored on her 300th cap for her country, and this adds to her all-time leading goal scoring record. Later in the match, there was a weird sequence of events that led to a Japan penalty kick. Originally, they called it a Canada free kick going out because Stephanie LeBay came out and she got kicked. But when they looked back, they realized that it was a yellow card for her, actually. So she's injured on the play. She stays in for the penalty kick. She saves the penalty kick, but then later has to come out due to her injury. Later in the match, Iwabuchi ties it up in the 83rd minute after Japan's been getting a lot of momentum. So the game ends in a 1-1 tie. This is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Because of this group, I would say this is the group of death because Team GB, Canada, and Japan are all kind of evenly matched. Chile is going to have a tough time trying to get third after losing 2-0, but anything can happen really at this point. But yeah. So now moving on to Group F, which is China, Brazil, Zambia, and Netherlands. This is Zambia's first Olympic football tournament. The Netherlands were the heavy favorites in this match. They won 10-3. Miedema had a hat trick. Martens had 2. But surprisingly, it's not about how many goals they scored. It's about the 3 that they let in. Barbara Banda had a hat trick against the Netherlands, who are ranked 4th in the world, which is insane. I was wondering how this Netherlands team was going to do without Sierra Spitze, who unfortunately had to go home due to an injury in training. The Netherlands still did very well offensively, obviously. They have one of the best young strikers in the world, if not the best. As you can tell, I'm a big Miedema fan. But their midfield did good. I thought defensively, obviously, they could have done better. If they play like Brazil, they can't be letting in those goals because they're not going to be able to score 10. They're going to be able to score 1 or 2 against Brazil. So their defense needs to lock it up a little bit more if they want to continue this path of success that they've been having recently. For Zambia, I think you can take a lot of positives out of this game. Even though they did let in 10 goals, they did score 3 on a very good Dutch side. As I said, this is their first Olympics. I can't wait to see what they do in the rest of the tournament. I think this team's going to keep improving, so can't wait to see what they do in the rest of the tournament. Moving on to the next game in this group, China versus Brazil. I thought this was going to be a really good game. I thought like it would be kind of even. I know Brazil kind of has the upper hand, but I thought it would still be a good game until I found out Brazil blew out China 5-0. And I just realized I said Brazilian blowout, so that's hilarious, I know. Marta had 2 goals, Dabinha had 1. This is a really good start for Brazil in the tournament. I know Brazil a lot of times gets a lot of hate or like critics saying like Marta's too old, they can't play in these big tournaments that well now, like they're too old a lot of times is what people are saying, but I do not agree. They clearly can still perform. China was a big surprise. I thought they usually do well in these tournaments. I don't really know. I was expecting more. Hopefully, maybe it was just like first game jitters or something like that. So I hope to see China improve in the next game. And Brazil, great start to the tournament. I'm really excited to see Brazil face the Netherlands in the future because that should be a really good game in this group. Finally, moving on to Group G, which was USA, Sweden, Australia, and New Zealand. I'm going to save the US game for last because I have probably the most to say about that as a United States fan. We're going to start with the Battle of the Neighbors, Australia and New Zealand. This is a big rivalry, so there was a lot to play for, and in this group, the third place spot is really what's up to grabs, assuming Sweden and USA finish first. Australia were probably the favorites in this game. A lot of people were saying, oh, New Zealand could upset, because if you look at Sam Kerr's recent goal-scoring drought for internationally, she hasn't been doing the greatest, but they still have a really good offense, Australia does. New Zealand has a really strong defense, though. They have Abby Irsig and they have Ali Riley, which are two world-class defenders. But Sam Kerr finally ended her goal drought, and Australia won 2-1, and they probably should have won by a lot more than that. They had so many chances that they just couldn't put in, but Sam Kerr also assisted the first goal that Yallop scored. Unfortunately for Australia, they did let in a last-minute goal, so they didn't get the 2-0 win, but that's good for New Zealand. As I said before, the third-place spot is up for grabs, and the way this Olympic tournament is working, there is three groups of four, top two teams from each group qualify, and then the two best third-place teams make it in, so one third-place team isn't going to win, and Australia is really going to need goal differential, especially against Sweden and the United States. Unfortunately, New Zealand, the best they could probably get out of that game was a tie because Australia were dominating, but they didn't. So that's going to really hurt their chances to get that third place spot. I think in the GB, Canada, Japan group, whoever finishes third in that is probably moving on. And then the other third place spot is probably going to be up to grabs. So yeah, finally moving on to the last matchup, which was USA, Sweden. USA is ranked number one in the world and Sweden's ranked number five. Honestly, I think Sweden should be ranked higher after this win. They beat USA 3-0. I was up for this game at 4 a.m. and I was very disappointed in my team. So disappointing is the word I would say sums up the whole game if you're a United States fan. If you're a Sweden fan, then you should be very happy because you guys just crushed the number one team in the world. I don't know why the U.S. played like this. I don't know, maybe first game of the tournament. I really thought they were going to come out with strong. I thought they were going to come out strong after the 2016, what Sweden did in the Olympics. But that is not the case. The midfield was very sloppy. They couldn't hold shape. They really were all over the place. We couldn't hold possession. We didn't really have a strong transition game. And this is my plug for Andy Sullivan because she is really good at the transition game. So I think she should have been on the roster because clearly we could not do that today. She would have been a great help. But anyway, not time to talk about the roster choices. We just let in a goal really early on, which is super unlike the United States. It's super unlike the United States to let in a goal, no less letting in three goals. But at halftime, I thought maybe we could make some changes and try to get a goal, tie it up, like we did in the last Sweden game where we got the late PK. Julie Ertz came in the midfield, did hold a lot better shape. Still, we couldn't connect passes together. We were just giving the ball to Sweden. Obviously, they're going to capitalize on that. Sweden scores in the 54th minute, even though they probably should have already been up 3-0 at halftime. But they score again, 2-0. More changes are made. Sweden scores 3-0. Carly Lloyd almost has a chance, but it would have been a consolation goal at that point. She hits the post, goes out. There's a whole bunch of things that went wrong for the United States, but Sweden played very good. I think they should probably be ranked higher. They should probably be ranked one or two. The gap is closing. The U.S. can't have that big lead. Oh, we're going to win every tournament. They're everyone else is slowly closing in, and they need to realize that because they were super unprepared. But there is positives to take out of this game. The United States can take what happened today and make sure it doesn't happen again, because clearly they were super unprepared. This is kind of like a wake-up call for them. I think they can bounce back. Usually that's how the USA bounces back. Like, before 2019 World Cup, they lost to France, and then everyone was doubting them. So now that everyone's doubting them, I think they can show up, beat New Zealand. I feel bad for New Zealand, because I think the USA is going to come out with, like, rage for that game. I'm really hoping they win that, because that'll be my birthday, and that's all I want for them to win. I think they're going to beat Australia, as long as they don't play like that, because then Australia will literally walk all over them. But, yeah, they need that doubt for some reason. But going back to the unpreparedness of this, obviously we weren't playing really good competition. We played Mexico twice, and we scored five goals. Like, clearly we need to face more European competition. Yes, we played Sweden earlier, but we played France earlier, but that was, like, right when games were coming back on. Like, everyone was unprepared. After Sweden being in camp, you can see how good they are, and we need to face more European competition more frequently if we want to stay at that top tier. So this has been the first episode. It's kind of like a mini episode because it's just about the Olympics. When I get into NWSL, WSL, other national team stuff, the episode should be longer. But thank you for watching the Women's Football Report Olympic Edition, and hope to catch you in the next episode.